Scare your lawn straight by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
So we've talked curb appeal, we've talked winter lawns, we haven't gotten to vegetable gardening yet. It's still not too late to plant.
Any of the winter vegetables you can be planting all winter, and a lot of people will, you know, they'll pick things and replant, like onions. You could redo onion sets. As you pick your green onions, you can replant them. Lettuce, all the lettuces and spinach and chard, and especially when it's been in the 90s here of late, you know, we're going to finally be in the 70s today. So, no, a great time. You know, as you get even into January or February, you can still be putting in, especially the leafy things that you're just harvesting the leaves of. You know, you can go right up until it gets too hot to do those. So absolutely, winter vegetables, make sure you're keeping it well fertilized.
Slow release granular, I heard you mention earlier. Is that applies
organics or slow release, you know, whatever your preference is. And of course, organics are going to be real slow in the cooler weather anyway, but that's fine. Just make sure you keep nutrients available for the plants. Of course, adjust your watering. A lot of people tend to overwater this time of year because they don't go out and adjust that sprinkler controller, from where they were watering a month or two ago. It needs about half probably of what it was getting then. But yeah, winter vegetables, still going strong.
How about frost protection? You know, the last couple of years we've got some pretty cold weather, but, you know, around Christmas time.
Yep.
Is it just you throw your hands up and say, okay, I'm going to lose it all, or is there a way to slow some of the damage down that some of that leafy stuff might get?
You know, we've already had people buying frost cloth this year because they're like, I'm getting it now when I can get it, which is kind of interesting.
Right,
and then you hope you never have to open it, right?
Exactly.
You know, it depends on how cold it gets, Stan. That's the problem with the last few hard freezes we've had, is that it got colder than most of the things we use to protect are designed for.
It's mostly for frost protection, not a hard freeze.
Right. And then you couple that with the fact that it did it for 3, 4, 5 nights in a row. That just drives the damage deeper. However, it still helps. I mean, it may have kept the plant from completely dying.
Mm-hmm.
You still got damage. It still froze back, but it might have been dead otherwise. So I think, you know, the big thing is making sure you're not over-fertilizing and over-watering and putting on a lot of new soft growth onto frost-sensitive things. Now, the winter vegetables are not frost-sensitive, so we want to keep feeding and watering them. That's why we plant them this time of year. The cold really doesn't bother them. But things like lantanas and bougainvilleas and, you know, the hibiscus, mm-hmm. and, you know, the natal plum, all of the kind of subtropical stuff that we normally, you want to, part of the process that they help protect themselves is they harden off. They quit putting on new growth. The growth, as it gets cooler, gets more mature, firmer, harder, so to speak, as opposed to soft new tissue. So make sure you're not overwatering and over-fertilizing them. Help them harden off. Don't prune. I see a lot of people pruning this time of year, and this is a terrible time to prune, especially those subtropical and frosted. All of that canopy of growth will help protect the plant from, you might get superficial damage or pretty significant damage, but the canopy of growth on there keeps the main trunk or stems from freezing and protects the plant that way. So don't prune. Wait till February, and then if it froze, you're going to have to prune it anyway.
Right, right.
So if you prune this time of year and then it freezes again, you're going to be pruning twice.
and then you whittle that thing down enough.
Right.
The other thing is, if you prune too early, this, you know, you're not going to get any new growth, so you're going to have this pruned back looking plant all winter long. And frankly, this time of year can be the prettiest for things like bougainvilleas and lantana, because they've kind of quit growing and all that energy goes to the bracts and the blooms. And that's why they're the prettiest. You know, bougainvilleas, if they don't freeze, are prettier in the winter than they are in the summer. So,
right.
So those are the best things you can do. Then if we get, you know, extremely cold, you know, covering with any breathable type material, putting light bulb, you know, all the, you know, the tricks and the secrets. But Have frost cloth on hand. That's the best thing is buy it now so you're not doing the mad scramble at the 11th hour and everybody's running out.
Soil prep. Getting that dirt ready. That's got to be probably the most critical thing, getting your garden started.
Absolutely. The key to success is having a great soil, whether if you're in-ground gardening, tilling the soil, tilling lots of organic material into the soil. Gypsum is very important to help kind of loosen the soil up and counteract salts or sulfur or both. So, yeah, but you can't overdo the organic material. That's the one thing our soils here just are pretty completely devoid of is organic materials. And, you know, plants just need those microorganisms and that good, rich, dark-looking soil to thrive in. So make sure you take the extra time to do that. That's what's beautiful about winter gardens is this winter garden season, vegetable-wise, goes on. And flower-wise, you can plant winter flowers all winter long. So there's no big hurry. If your bed is not ready, take the time and do it.
And we have Thanksgiving coming up. That was one of the driving factors in getting ready for curb appeal, getting ready for all of our family and friend guests to come over. There was a great article published on different ways to save money for Thanksgiving meal. Aside from, it sounds like everyone here is covered on the sweet potatoes. Jay, you had sweet potatoes in. Stan,
well, we'll
you
see.
We have sweet potatoes.
They're under there somewhere. We'll see if there's any there or not.
Without X-ray vision, it's difficult to know whether you're going to buy some or you wait for the garden.
Yeah, we'll find out here in a week or so.
How do you harvest that? Just take a shovel and hope you don't
carefully.
Cut the potato in half when you're digging it
you
up?
You know, technically, when they dig, they use a fork, you know, a wide-bladed fork, a potato fork, when they used to do it by hand, you know, so you stick a fork down and kind of lift the soil up and the potatoes kind of come up with that. So if you do a shovel, you know, you can stick the shovel right through the potato.
I bet that de-weeder would work great for that. It's got that little claw. You just reach down in there and scoop it up.
That might work.
I'll give it a try and let you know how it works.
And you still may stab one once in a while. I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to tell where they are.
But at least you're just shoving a fork through as opposed to a shovel, which would cut the whole thing in
and
half.
Waste the whole thing. Yeah, right.
Well, you don't have to waste it just because you cut it in half.
True. You've got to use it.
There you go. Cook that one tonight.
That's the mashed one.
But I'm a sweet potato. I would much rather have a sweet potato than a regular potato any day.
And sweet potato fries?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, anything.
Man. Sweet potato latte is my new one.
Sweet potato latte
is my new one. It's good.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like to bake them, then mash them with skin on.
Oh, yeah.
Put a little bit of brown sugar, a little bit of molasses.
Oh, I don't even need that.
Cover them with crushed pecans about a quarter inch thick all across
that's
the top.
That's a pie. That's not
bake it again. Oh, man.
So what does that sweet potato taste like after you doctor it?
Oh,
like,
lots of pecans and lots of sweet potato. But, number one on the list, accurate head count. How often do we over-prepare or, you know, not sure how many's coming or at last minute, well, so-and-so was alone and so I brought them all. Accurate head count.
We all overestimate how much people are going to eat, too. You know, I mean, I think the official USDA serving for meat is 3 ounces.
Good.
Three ounces.
That leaves nothing for leftovers for the next week.
Man, you know, so, I'm a little guy, and I can do six.
That's an average.
So you always, gave it Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So we always have way more.
Yep.
Keeping an eye out for local deals, farmers markets, grocery stores, Bash's, fillyourplate.org. Those are great places that you'll be able to keep an eye out for those deals. Buying in bulk always helps if you do have a big enough family to justify buying in bulk for. How about a potluck? When was the last time you did a Thanksgiving potluck?
Well, we always have somebody bring. Everybody brings something. Yeah.
Well, what's the favorite meal around the Harper's table?
The favorite dish probably depends on who you ask, you know, but I like the because it's the only time of year anybody makes it, that the green bean and onion and bacon casserole.
Why is that such a seasonal thing?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, you could eat that all day.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why it's so seasonal.
So you don't eat it all.
I guess, yeah. That's probably my favorite.
Ours is usually drowned in a couple sticks of butter, too.
Oh, yeah,
our
of course.
Two or three pounds of bacon laying across the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
shopping around for your turkey. It's not just store-bought. There's local farms that you can get your turkey from, and I'm sure that you don't have to get it live. They do the dirty work for you.
Somebody on TV last night was advertising local fresh turkeys. One of the grocery chains. I don't remember which one it was, but that's the first ad I think I've ever seen for local fresh turkeys from a grocery store.
Mm. They do surprisingly well in the desert. They're not what you picture when you picture a wild turkey. A lot of them are, especially in the desert.
You guys probably don't remember. There was a turkey farm on Thomas Road just east of Hayden for years.
No, I did not.
Wells, I think. Wells Turkey Farm on the north side of Thomas.
When did it go away?
Oh, it's been a long time. You know, it probably went away in the 70s.
Wow.
Probably the 70s.
That was before I was born, so I don't remember.
I said you guys probably don't remember.
My neighbor raises turkeys, and we've got a couple already pre-picked out. I hear it every morning when I'm out feeding our animals. And they're out there. I'm like, man, I can't wait till Thanksgiving's over. I don't have to hear that anymore. But yeah, look around for local. I think it's Schnepp Farms. That's not it. But there's one near there in the Southeast Valley that has a very good supply of turkeys. I'll have to get that link and put it up. But invest in durable kitchenware was another good advice. You know, that's pretty valid. That's one of the few things that I've seen is worth the investment. Expensive knives for the kitchen, expensive cookware that really makes a big difference, especially when it comes to not burning or overdoing your food with something cheap. It sticks to the bottom and it's just hard to burn it all.
It's just hard to get past a good old cast iron pot, you know.
We use a cast iron skillet a lot. The only problem with that is that I have to go in and lift it. But
well, think of the calories you're burning off lifting that skillet around, you know.
You know, our favorite still to this day is deep fried turkeys. And we'll have, I'm sure, I know that's on our blog, rosieonthehouse.com. Our deep fried turkey recipes there. That is, you know, you have a deep fried turkey, and it's hard to ever have anything different. Number 7 on the list was creating your own decorations. I think we've covered that pretty well with curbside appeal. And you were talking about having pumpkins out that,
well, you can
in the colder climates.
For your Halloween pumpkins, save them. I mean, pumpkins last a long time. Just don't leave them out in the sun. So make a centerpiece out of, you know, grab a couple of pumpkins. And that's
uncut
a nice thing.
Pumpkins last a long time.
Yes. Once they're cut, then no. Yeah. But you can use, and that's the nice thing about growing flowers. If you grow, you know, lots of bedding flowers, like especially stock and snapdragons and those, they make great cut flowers. You can cut them and put them in a vase and bring them inside. And
there's a lot of roses that are really pretty spectacular.
Roses this time of year might be the prettiest time of year for roses there is. If you've kind of groomed them up late in the fall and are feeding them, that's one thing you should still be fertilizing is rose bushes. And they're fabulous in November and December.
Yeah.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.